بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته جميعا. I'm really feeling honored to be amongst you brothers and sisters in faith, and I really have to appreciate this invitation as it was presented by a great scholar, your Imam here for this Islamic Center, and I think it was a little bit an exaggeration to say that the late marhum Sheikh Abdul Hakim has chosen his name, being impressed by myself. You know, we are at all, whatever we are going to be, we are going to remain ibadullah ta'ala. We are all servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was meant to be a servant of al-Hakim. Huwa al-Aliyyu al-Hakim. Huwa al-Sami'u al-Basir. And we are only servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a big honor to be servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This status of servitude, it has been described as an honor for Prophet Jesus, for example, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Quran said, وَلَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفَ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَبْدًا لِلَّهِ. There would be no harm for his personality to be a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are, and inshallah, we are going to reach that stage to be servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every time we pray, you know, in your tashahhud, what do you say? You say, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. So it's an honor for us to be servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we are here and we are in this house of wisdom, I know Mawlana al-Shaykh al-Jaleel, al-Imam al-Ilahi, these servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they came here to fulfill their spiritual needs. They have their social needs to associate with people, socialize, and learn from each other. But above all, it is about quenching their thirst. Even here, for the day of Ashura, for Imam Hussein, this water plays a crucial role. Why? Don't you remember? Every time you drink water, a cup of water, what has been recommended for you as Shia Muslims to say? You teach each and every single daughter and lovely boy of the next generation. What do you teach them? Not only this, there is something more. Salamullah ala al-Husayn. So people here, Mawlana, they came here to quench their thirst for knowledge. And that's why I have asked them please to provide a PowerPoint screen, and inshallah they have promised for tomorrow. They are going to do that due to technical problems. We couldn't make it today, and I'm sorry for that. Please forgive us till tomorrow. And another request from you, brothers and sisters. Can't you see that we have to work more? We have to struggle more? Can't you see that our youth sometimes may have gone lost in these societies? Many of them probably are being westernized, and I mean by westernized here in its negative form. Why don't we invite each, if each and every one of us ask his or her friend, come, join us to that center. You may find something that you will learn for your life. So, let's try, each and every one of us, ask our friends, come on, join us. Al-Hussein is a light for the wayfarer. But aren't we all supposed to be wayfarers? Al-Hussein, as our Imam has just quoted, isn't he being described as the ship of salvation? Isn't our aspiration as actually to be saved from her and spared from her hellfire? Not only Muslims, Christians as well. Everyone wants to be saved. And I'm saying everyone, I mean it in its literal sense. Each and every human being. Even those atheists, if you ask them deep inside, they would confess they want to live happily. Without anxiety. Closer to the truth. Whatever the truth might be. We call it Allah. They call it energy. They call it whatever they want. They want to live happily. This is their aspiration. So why don't you try to invite them? Come on, let's join us. Let's learn something for your future. I know that these centers, alhamdulillah, have accommodated hundreds of our youth. And there are dozens of other programs ongoing within this 10 days of Muharram. But even though, we have to work more. And this is a request. Take it as it is, as it has been posed from Imam Hussein to you. Don't you want to let people understand the depth of Imam Hussein's blood? Don't you want people to know about Imam Hussein? Don't you want people to appreciate this precious stone that you have in your hand? Don't you want to save your neighbors? Even Christians say, love your neighbor. Don't you want to save your neighbors? Let's work on that. And this is a request from you, brothers and sisters. And I'm expecting you, inshallah, to work more and to struggle to spread the word of Allah, inshallah. As today's lecture, commemorating Imam Hussein's martyrdom, I have actually started with two bullet points. I'm sorry, I have to quote and tell you how the structure of the original lecture was. I have to quote it from the printout I have received from our sisters, and we have highlighted two points here: the philosophy, the importance. We may understand, and we'd be quite willing to grasp the philosophy behind commemorating Imam Hussein's martyrdom, but we may not realize the importance of that. Why is it so important? Simply because of water again. Don't you want to quench your thirst? It is your thirst for knowledge. And if you don't know about Imam Hussein, if you don't know about his aspiration for justice, you will remain ignorant. I am responsible about what I'm talking about here. Completely ignorant, as you may see some of Muslims going around. If you ask them, who is Al-Hussein? What do they know? Those who are knowledgeable, they may say he is the grandson of the Prophet. Yeah, is that all? Who was his mother? Why has he sacrificed his life? What are the details of his sacrifice? They don't know anything. It is their ignorance. It has reached that level that some of them came once, and we do remember in Najaf, it's a matter of joke, you know. They came to Najaf and they saw people, you know, commemorating Al-Hussein, Hussein, you know. What's this? The commemoration of Imam Hussein's death? Oh, this man who died, you are commemorating. I can see the sadness and sorrow, but the first question he asked, you know, what was that? But what was his profession, please? What was his work? What did he do? And you consider that as a Muslim. What was his profession? He thought obvious that Imam Hussein died a few days ago. What was his profession? So you see, people might be so ignorant, they don't know even about Al-Hussein. Why? Because they don't know the details of Islamic history. Ask them about this narration which says, إِنَّ أَصْحَابِكَ النُّجُومِ بِأَيِّهُمْ اُقْتَدَيْتُمْ اَفْتَدَيْتُمْ. It's a narration that has been narrated mostly by our Sunni brothers in their Sahih, which means, I translate, my brothers are my companions are like stars. Regardless which one would like to follow, you will be guided. بِأَيِّهُمْ اَقْتَدَيْتُمْ اَهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Okay. So this applies to all Sahaba, and they say yes. But by the way, do you know that some of these companions, they fought each other. It was a clash. And some of them were killed. Like Talha, Zubair. And whom have they fought? Ali ibn Abi Talib. Whom you describe to be? Karram Allah wajhah. He has never been polytheist during all his life. So it was a fight. You know what they're going to say? But there is another narration which says, there will be battles after me, again quoting the Prophet, so-called narration, from the so-called, you know, Prophet. I don't know which Prophet has said that. There are going to be battles after my death, the Prophet quoted to have been said. What did he say? The killer and the victim both will end up in hellfire. Al-Qatil wal-Maqtul fi an-nar. Well, Al-Qatil, the killer, I can understand why would be in hellfire, but why would the one who was the victim, who was killed, to end up in hellfire? And imagine if somebody has attacked you. Don't you have the right to defend yourself? No. Al-Qatil wal-Maqtul fi an-nar. The killer and those who are victims, all of them, will end up in hellfire. Oh yeah? Well, it doesn't make sense. Either that narration would be authenticated and correct, or this narration would be authenticated and correct. Both? There's no consistency at all. There is no logic at all. Here you describe them to be stars for guidance. Here you describe them as to be ending up all in hellfire. That's what I call complete ignorance. They don't know anything about Islamic history. Whatever has happened. Why? Because they are deprived of this source of knowledge, this source of quenching your thirst. That's Allah said on Islam. Anyway, unfortunately, we have to admit that there is a gloomy reality of some of those superficial minds, detached from reality, deprived of profound thinking and analysis, and devoid from the emotional needs that each and every single current society needs. What do they say? What do they claim? Why do you commemorate Imam Hussein? 1400 years ago, why would you cry? There's no need to cry. Definitely you have heard some of them claiming that. Why? 1400 years ago, it's finished. تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ. These are perished nations. As we're talking about Romans or Persians during the early period of polytheism, those are perished nations, they say. تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ. And God will, you know, punish them and reward them. It's not our business, don't speak about it. Why? Because they are afraid. If they touch the depth of the historical records, try to analyze a little bit of it. They will describe how inconsistent these narrations and their faith is based on. How inconsistent. There is no consistency, as we have just already, you know, explained. Now, we can add to that some of the wrong and misunderstanding that some of us Shia Muslims have contributed to this wrong practice. And I'm quoting here the book that is, you know, is yet about to be published by myself, and it is called The Martyr of Freedom. First volume, I quote, "It is a sad reality, especially in the present era, that many Muslims consider Imam Hussein little more than a symbol of sorrow, rather than an incentive for action. What's more, they prefer to shed tears over him rather than refer to him as a valuable source of knowledge and a cause for studying the history of Islam. They see remembrance of him as a ritual, not a school of inspiration. They do not realize that in him we found a complete Islam." And I believe in what I have said here. In him we found a complete Islam. The perfect manifestation of the genuine Islam. In writing this book, again I'm quoting the foreword of this book, "It is our intention to reveal these aspects of his inspirational personality, both historically and from a mystical perspective." By the way, mystical perspective, I'm referring to the Irfan al-Nawawi. Those of you who have read about Ibn Arabi and Sharh al-Qaisari and whatever has been written of interpretations of that book, they would understand how Imam Hussein is spiritual and a mystical figure. Why? Because he is the one who is the heir of all divine prophets. Don't you recite in every Ashura, Ziyarat Warith, As-salamu alayka ya Waritha, Adam Safwatillah. As-salamu alayka ya Waritha, Nuh Nabila. So he's the heir. What do you mean by heir? Has he received any heritage in form of money? You know, the Khalifs, they have even taken Fadak from Our Lady Fatima. So it's not about money. It is about spiritual knowledge. It is about their mystical teaching. And this is what we have dealt with in this book. For many scholars, it seems quite impossible to conceive of such a book that would launch these aspects into the intellectual field. Which is why we have taken up the challenge. This book sets out to illustrate the lessons that every thinking human being, and I'm being precise here to say every thinking human being, regardless of being Muslim, non-Muslim, Christian, whatever, can take from Imam Hussein's character and from his sacrifice. Unquote. If you are happy with this, I want you to recite loudly salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The fact is that this is what we are going to do, and we are going to continue those who have tried and attempted, and they were successful in their attempts to correct the path of commemorating Imam Hussein's martyrdom. As the Battle of Ashura is actually a battle between justice and injustice. It is between light and darkness. It is between awareness and ignorance. Between the true Islam and the fake and forged Islam. Didn't we hear our Imam saying, what did he say? He said, they have tried in their conspiracy to forge Islam, to distort the pure teaching of Islam, to change the teaching, the genuine teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a battle between hypocrisy and complete faith. Therefore, we have to keep it alive. It is our duty. Now, you may say, what am I going to achieve if I cry or weep? You have the right to ask that. But I'm answering, don't you want to have and to keep your heart alive? And I have heard a very beautiful saying which says, if you want to have emotions, you have to have tears. Don't you see that some woman, as according to Victor Hugo, he says, if you want to understand what she wants to say, look at her eyes. Because in her eyes, you would detect her emotions. So if you don't have tears, you don't have emotions. Just like stone. Your heart is just like stone. By crying and weeping, Imam Hussein, we are not weeping about our miserable conditions as Muslims, nor are we blaming the enemies of Imam Hussein for our tragedies. Rather, we are trying to revive the true Islam within ourselves. So once you cry, you are reviving the true Islam within yourself, within your heart, because you are learning something for your life. And it is the balance which is required here. So we are trying to revive ourselves, then revive the society we are living in. Again, we are crying to revive all what that Imam Hussein stood for. What did he stand for? Global justice. Yes, global justice. You may say, we are in the 21st century and it is the age of globalization. And Imam Hussein, 1400 years ago, struggled for global justice. I would say, yes. Look at, and I'll try to analyze his political cry. You will see what he said. إِن لَمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ دِينٌ فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. At least be a free individual. Don't be a slave of others. And that's why this book actually has got the title The Martyr of Freedom. He wanted them at least to be free, not to be slaves. Standing against oppression, revolting for peace and divine justice, and the true Islam which was revealed to the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. We should not cry Imam Hussein for the sake of a blind love. No. We don't want blind love. Because this blind love may result in fanaticism. And you are not big fans of fanaticism. Not at all. We want to promote moderation. Divine teaching has encouraged us to be on the right path, which is Al-Jadatul Wusta, the moderated path. Although we are all totally to the great Islam and its divine teaching, we should not cry for a dead Islam, because the Islam that we want to establish is not a dead Islam, it is a living Islam. Commemorating the tragedy of Imam Hussein, as this is a cry for justice. And justice is a continuous task, lasting until oppression is wiped up and eliminated from the face of the whole earth. This is our task. We are entrusted. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. This is the middle way, الْجَادَةُ الْوُسْطَى. لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. You are going to be witness. Witness for all other human beings. And the Prophet ﷺ is going to be your prophet during the day of judgment, as has been described by this Quranic verse, وَيَكُونُ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. He is going to be your witness. As long as Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam has not proclaimed and declared the global just government, we still have to struggle and to commemorate Imam Hussein's tragedy and to revive his teaching and to sacrifice our life when is needed. If you agree, I want you to recite your Muhammadi salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Ahsantum. Seems that we all agree on that, and therefore I'm seeing a bright future for this country. this country as it is honored and blessed by the presence of this Muslim community, it will flourish inshallah in the future. Say inshallah. More about the philosophy. You know, sometimes you just can't do anything. Take your position, ask to be in Imam Zainul Abidin's condition. What could you have done? Huh? He's the Imam. Imam al-Insi wal-Jan. What could you have done? Prayers, dua, and cry. Dua, it is manifested, his prayers are all manifested in the Psalms of Islam in Sahih al-Sajjadiyya, and it is full of divine knowledge, overwhelmed with the prophetic traditions, but his crying for Imam Hussein, I'm just quoting this story. Whenever he was passing by a butcher, you know, those who slaughter animals, you know, according to the Sharia law, before they slaughter the animal, what would they do? They gave them some water to drink. And he was staring at that butcher. Did you give him some water? The answer would be, yes. And then he was crying. But my father was slaughtered mercilessly without having quenched his thirst. Where are those who are struggling for animal rights? Take a look of Umayyad's version of Islam, to slaughter the very grandson of the Prophet while being thirsty. Is this Islam? I don't know. I really have a question mark. A big question mark. So he was crying and praying. So sometimes to cry is a silent weapon against oppression. Believe me. And it is so effective. Because it is genuine. We're not pretending. Imam Zain al-Abidin wasn't pretending. He knew what his father and his family has gone through. And if you realize what they have gone through, you will do the same. Believe me, whenever you drink your water, you will say, Salaam Allah ala Abi Abdullah. I've gone through that. Doing the aqiqah for my son, the first thing we had to do when we brought the butcher, that goat needed water. So we gave it water. And it was drinking and drinking and drinking. I don't know why it was that long. And I think it had a lesson for me to remember that this animal deserved to be treated with mercy. Now what about Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Huh? He was a political opponent of the Khalif, the so-called, you know, rightfully Khalif. Huh? What about his little son, Abdullah al-Radi? Again, a threat? What kind of khilaf is that? What kind of teaching is that? It's inhuman teaching. I don't understand. I told you, I have a big question mark. What kind of Islam is that? So to cry, believe me, to cry is a silent weapon against oppression. But it is not a negative one. Rather, it is a positive sign for a living heart. That's what we want to maintain. To keep our hearts alive. So cry for Imam Hussein and keep his teaching alive in your heart. And then you will be able to detect the divine light entering your heart. And then you will understand what does it mean to have an enlightened conscious. To cry is indeed to scream loudly against oppression, but it is a civilized way. Yes, I can't help it. I can't defend myself. I can't do anything. But at least I can cry. To show that I am a victim. It is a civilized way. Through these two methods, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam managed to create a rebellion for the Muslim Ummah. Dua, crying. The tragedy of Karbala was revived and the pure teaching of Islam was revived through the Psalms, As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyya. To cry then, it is to stand against the unjust and the actions of hypocrites, but in a peaceful way. Very peaceful. Just cry and you will see how the enemy of Islam would feel provoked. One day we were beside the Baqi' and we were crying, Rose Imam Hussein. Some of them came and he said, why do you cry? Bil Arabi, huh? Yesh tibkun al Hussein. Sure. Why do you cry? I said, we can't help it. He was a victim for a forged Islam, for a fake Islam. He was martyred mercilessly. He was killed along his family. And he said, why don't you cry then for Abu Bakr, Khalifa Siddiq, first Khalifa? I said, tell me he was killed mercilessly like Imam Hussein, and I will cry. Even the enemies of Islam would feel provoked if you cry for the sake of reviving the teaching of Imam Hussein. To cry is to declare that we are helpers of those who are oppressed and enemies of pitiless animals. That's what how we should describe them. Pitiless animals. Indeed, what do you describe Shibrid ibn Joshan? Huh? Pitiless animals. And it has been narrated that Imam Hussein saw in his dream a vision that there is a dog. A dog drinking of his blood prior to his martyrdom in Karbala. And when he saw Shimr, oh, realize who was that dog. It's a dog. Pitiless animals. By the way, what's going on now in Gaza? You know what's going on in Gaza. People were killed. They can't defend themselves. So we are helpers of oppressed people. Then to cry is to revive the very human nature, the humanity within ourselves, and not to let ourselves be metamorphosed. You know, maskh. We don't want to be mamsukh. To cry is to revive the emotional language, without which everyone's heart would be dead, The hearts are alive and shining with all the values that Islam and the Holy Quran imparts and what Imam Hussein stood and fought for. This is what does it mean to cry. So, the conclusion is that no one has the right to say that we should not commemorate Imam Hussein's great sacrifice in Karbala until Imam Hussein declared it himself. This is first. Remember that. This is our duty. The blood of Imam Hussein is not a burden. It is a great honor to convey the message, to convey his teaching for the next generation. You have been entrusted with this great treasure. Are we going to be responsible? Inshallah. As it is because only him who, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, it's only him who will take revenge of his great blood, and only he knows the correct interpretation of Islam, and only he is entrusted with the great task of spreading Islam as the complete teaching and practical teaching of Islam all over the globe. Yes, it is our duty until the day Imam al-Hujja ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif declares, and as we call him and describe him, أَيْنَ الطَّالِبُ بِدَمِ الْمَقْتُولِ بِكَرْبَلَى. Until that day, inshallah, we will be all struggling for this great teaching of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the true Islam, and I hope that we will be successful in maintaining the right path. Thank you for your attention. أستغفر الله لي ولكم والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد.